This is the last week of our liturgical year before next week starts Advent. We prepare for Christmas and we launch into a new year. And at the end of this, think of it as a parade of all the feasts that we celebrate. And if you've ever been to a parade, the last person is supposed to be the person of most honor. And at the end of this parade, of this whole liturgical year we have, and we hold up Christ the King. That the King is the last in the procession, deserving of honor. And I've been thinking about, it's been really fascinating me recently, it's just coming out from the scriptures, that Jesus, from the first moment he opens his words, as soon as he begins preaching and teaching, he proclaims the kingdom of God. It's the first thing that's on his mind. That he tells the earliest listeners to him, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's all the way through all of his preaching, he's talking about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. That he's establishing something here on earth. But it's not just merely of earth. It's this heavenly reality that is mixed into our daily lives. And he is the king. That he is the ruler of all of these things. That the people of Israel for so long had been asked to order their world according to God's will. To order their lives according to what the Lord desired. And they were unwilling to time and again. And the Lord promised that he would send a Messiah, a Christ, a kingly figure, a good shepherd into their midst. And Jesus, as he announces the kingdom, he himself is the king. He stands, he represents us, and he appoints officiants, his own cabinet of 12 motley crew apostles. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And then he's looking for those who want to willingly belong to his kingdom. And he doesn't force anyone to be a citizen beneath him. But that he invites constantly by his words, by his preaching, by his actions, would you hand your life over to me? Would you submit your will to the king? And he doesn't force. It's notable that the first words that Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's true. The kingdom of God is in your midst. But then there's an instruction after that. Repent and believe in the gospel. That if the kingdom of God is at hand, if it's in our midst, that makes a demand on me. A demand to repent and to believe in the gospel. Jesus knows he has to say this because as a king, there will always be enemies to him. There will always be opposition to Jesus as king in my heart. Other things will try and drown him out, box him out of my life. So Jesus instructs us from the very beginning, whatever it is that's taken the place of king in your heart, whatever sits on the throne of your heart, you need to repent of that. We do a really bad job of this. We think, I'll just wait till my next confession before I repent. It's like all the time we need to internally repent. Jesus tells us that if we're not in him, we have no life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so when I put my trust, put my confidence in things, in worldly success, in other people's approval of me, I put my identity in my own sin and my own weakness, I put my identity in things that I want to be, but they're not rooted in Christ, Jesus says, you need to repent of that. And we need to laugh at ourselves in the midst of it. Here I go again, Lord, doing the same old stuff I said I wasn't going to do, and I'm sorry, I'm going to put that behind me so that you can be the center of my life. You can be the king of my heart. Repent and believe in the gospel. That all the other stuff of our souls needs to be put away so that I can actually believe in the good news. Our hearts are always, our souls are the battleground where Satan wants to reign. But if Christ is king, we need to put this away. It's so much easier to sort of conquer the world around us, to be good at school or to be good at work, to be good in my family, to be good in how I impress other people. It's easy to conquer that world, maybe easier than it is to conquer my own heart, which gets caught up in small and fickle things. And that's why our hearts are such a battleground. But the invitation to believe in the gospel so that I can live in the freedom of the children of God. Because what Jesus is opposing is a slavery. This is the story of the Old Testament, that there's constantly a slavery when they turn over to other gods, other idols, that the people of God are constantly enslaved by another nation, an opposition. And our hearts are no different, and we become slaves to the world around us. But to really place Christ at the center of my heart, to allow him to be seated on the throne of my soul, means that I get to live in the freedom of the children of God, that I get to believe in the gospel. And there's a truth in that. Jesus tells us, "For this I was born, and for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And what's the truth? That I've been claimed and sought by God. That in the waters of baptism, I became a child of the Father, a son or a daughter of the Father. That I'm not defined by my sin, I'm not defined by my weakness, I'm not defined by my shame, I'm not defined by the things that disappoint me. That I ultimately belong to God. I am the sum of God the Father's love for me. That he sent his son into the world for me. And that this king who we're called to follow, his throne was the cross. He's there with a crown on his head, a painful crown for you and for me. That he would do it again and again out of love for us. That's the truth that I need to live into. That's what it means to believe in the gospel. But that if that's true, I can be free to be a sinner and yet go to the Lord again and again and repent and repent and repent. Say, "Lord, I want you to be the king of my life." This was a new idea to me recently. The idea that if God is my Father, and you and I are sons of the Father, sons and daughters, that means that the king is my brother. Have you ever thought of that? You got to draw the family lines a little bit. That if God is my Father, and Jesus is his son, and I'm also a son or a daughter of God, then the king is my brother. And we really struggle with kingship. We think of the English monarchs who are in their high castles, and there's like, no way I'm going to meet this king or this queen. There's no way I have access to this person. That if Jesus is king, that means he rules from heaven, he reigns from heaven. One day maybe I'll be able to go into his throne room and speak to him face to face. But if the king is my brother, that means I have access to the king. That I'm not this peasant beggar who has to go through all these different channels of people to finally maybe get to the king, and he's given me 2 minutes to speak my piece, and then I have to go away. And if the king is my brother, and maybe we have to put aside all of our weird family relationships and think, you know, I've got it too. But that we grew up together, and that this person knows me. He knows my struggles. He knows what I've been through. He knows what I'm going through. Mom and Dad raised us. That we've been through a lot together. That when I go to him, I know that he listens. I know that he trusts me. I know that he loves me. So why do we keep Jesus so far away from us? When Jesus died on the cross, you remember that the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. The veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Not that it was torn from the bottom to the top, that we could have done that. But from the top down, the veil between heaven and earth has been broken so that we have access to God the Father. And our access comes through Jesus Christ the King, who is my brother. And we need to approach him with confidence in our repentance and in the submission of our lives. Your soul is the battleground. And the king comes to conquer that place so that he can bring freedom to our hearts. The freedom of the children of God. Jesus Christ, the King, is your brother. And through him, we have access to God.